Welcome to Sleepy Shorts Kids, short stories for bedtime. We are supported by Sleepy Shorts Podcast. Just like Sleepy Shorts Kids, it's a bedtime story podcast that's suitable for all ages, but geared more to grown-ups. If you know a grown-up who has trouble falling asleep, they may want to give Sleepy Shorts a try. It's available on major podcast apps like Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and many others. Or simply say, "Alexa, play the Sleepy Shorts podcast." Just be sure to add please and thank you. Now, relax and get comfortable. It's time to grab your favorite pillow, snuggle into your covers, and turn off the light. Your bedtime story is about to begin. Let me help you fall asleep. The Journey to the Sun and the Moon. There were once two people who loved each other dearly. The young man was called John, the girl, Annette. In her sweetness, she was like unto a dove. In her strength and bravery, she resembled an eagle. Her father was a rich farmer and owned a large estate. But John's father was only a poor mountain shepherd. Annette did not in the least mind her suitor being poor, for he was rich in goodness. Nor did she think her father would object to their marrying. One day, John put on his best clothes and went to ask the farmer for his daughter's hand. The farmer listened without interrupting him and then replied, "If you would marry Annette, go and ask of the sun why he does not warm the night as well as the day. Then inquire of the moon why she does not shine by day as well as by night. When you return with these answers, you shall not only have my daughter, but all of my wealth." These conditions in no way daunted John, who placed his hat on the side of his head and, taking a loving farewell of Annette, set out in search of the sun. On reaching a small town at the close of day, he looked about for a place wherein to pass the night. Some kind people offered him shelter and invited him to dine with them, inquiring as to the object of his journey. When they heard that he was on his way to visit the sun and moon, the master of the house begged him to ask the sun why the finest pear tree they had in the town for several years ceased to bear fruit, for it used to produce the most delicious pears in the world. John willingly promised to make this inquiry, and the next day continued his journey. He walked on and on, over mountain and moor, through valley and dense forest, until he came to a land where there was no drinking water. The inhabitants, when they heard the object of John's journey, begged him to ask the sun and moon why a well that was the chief water supply of the district no longer gave good water. John promised to do so and resumed his journey. After long and weary wanderings, he reached the sun's abode and found him about to start on his travels. "O sun," he said, "stop one moment. Do not depart without first answering a few questions. Be quick then and speak, for I have to go all around the world today," said the sun. "Pray tell me, why do you not warm or light the earth by night as well as by day?" "For this simple reason," replied the sun, "that if I did, the world and everything upon it would be very soon burnt up." John then put his questions concerning the pear tree and the well. But the sun replied that his sister, the moon, would be able to answer him on these points. Hardly had the sun finished speaking before he was obliged to hurry off and John traveled far and fast to meet the moon. On coming up to her, he said, "Would you kindly stop one moment? There are a few questions I should like to ask you." "Very well, be quick, for the earth is waiting for me," she answered, and stood still at once. "Tell me, dear moon, why do you not light the world by day as well as by night? And why do you never warm it?" She said, "Because if I lit up the world by day as well as by night, the plants would produce neither fruit nor flower. And though I do not warm the earth, I supply it with dew, which makes it fertile and fruitful." She was then about to continue her course, but John, begging her to stop one moment longer, questioned her about the pear tree, which had ceased to bear fruit. And the moon answered him thus: "While the king's eldest daughter remained unmarried, the tree bore fruit every year. After her wedding, she had a little child who died and was buried under this tree. Since then, there has been neither fruit nor flower on its branches. But after a proper time of mourning, the tree will bear fruit once again." The moon was just moving off when John begged her to stop and answer one more question, which was why the inhabitants of a certain land were unable to obtain from their well the clear and wholesome water it had formerly poured forth. She replied, "Under the mouth of the well, just where the water should flow, lies an enormous toad which poisons it continually. The brim of the well must be broken and the toad sent away. Then the water will be as pure and wholesome as it was formerly." The moon then resumed her journey, for John had no more questions to ask her. He joyfully went back to claim his Annette, but didn't forget to stop on coming to the land where they were short of water. The inhabitants ran out to meet him, anxious to know what he had found out. John led them to the well and there explained the instructions he had received from the moon, at the same time showing them what to do. Sure enough, right underneath the brim of the well, they found a horrible toad which poisoned everything. When they had sent it off, the water immediately became pure and transparent and sweet to the taste as before. All the people brought John presents, and thus laden with riches, he again set out. On arriving at the town where grew the unfruitful pear tree, he was warmly welcomed by the prince, who at once asked if he had forgotten to question the stars about the tree. "I never forget a promise once made," replied John, "and the answer will be agreeable to your majesty to know the cause of the evil." He then related all the moon had said, and John was loaded with rich gifts, and the king presented him with a most valuable horse, by means of which he reached home very quickly. Annette was wild with joy upon hearing of her fiancé's safe return, for she had wept and suffered much during his absence. But her father's feelings were very different. He wished never to see John again, and had indeed sent him in search of the sun with the hope that he might be burnt up by the heat. Our young shepherd returned, though, not only safe and sound, but with more knowledge than any of his ill-wishers, for he had learned why the sun neither lights nor warms the earth by night as in the day, also why the moon does not give warmth and only lights up the night. Besides all this, he had brought with him riches which far exceeded those of his father-in-law, and a steed full of fire and vigor. So Annette's father could find no fault, and the wedding was celebrated with joy and feasting. Large quantities of roasted boar were eaten, and glasses overflowing with mead were emptied. So beautiful, too, was the music, that for long, long after, it was heard to echo among the mountains. And even now, its sweet sounds are heard at times by travelers among these regions. Good night.